Well, here's what we're going to run through here, guys. We're going to talk a little bit about disciplines and legalism and things like that, because I think we need to put this in perspective. I put together some testimonies of people on scripture memory. We'll just briefly look at the hand illustration, just because it's applicable to this. Then why memorize, what to memorize, how to maintain, how to keep going for the long haul, how to memorize a verse. And then we're going to have a special visit from John Piper. So he'll talk to us about scripture memory for 4 minutes. Actually, 3 minutes and 50 seconds. It's amazing that any preacher could do that in 3 minutes, do anything in 3 minutes and 50 seconds. So anyway, let's roar through this. Ask questions. Stop me if we're going down a trail we don't need to go. Then you guys have all done scripture memory enough. This is just giving you more stuff for your for you to be able to use it with your own workshops. So jump in here if I'm missing the mark. So first off, I want to talk about a perspective on disciplines and skills. And I want to preface this because scripture memory or discipleship groups, fasting, praying, quiet time, meditation, any of these things, we can use those to beat people over the head with them. And they can be points of pride, can be points of arrogance. I want to talk about where these fit in. And you guys, give me your input on this as we're going along here. You know, there's two types of law. In the Old Testament, we know there's the moral law. What was the moral law? Like the Ten Commandments. Yeah, so no idols, no lying, okay, no stealing, no murder. And then that's the first half that are the no's, and then the other things. There's this moral law that God gave us. Is it the kind of thing where God was looking at the law and deciding, okay, is lying good or bad? Let's flip a coin and see. Heads, lying is bad. Tails, it's okay to lie. And he flips a coin and goes, oh, it's heads. Okay, lying is no good. Is that the way it is? No. Why is lying wrong? Why do you think lying is wrong?
Jesus is full of grace and truth.
Okay. We know Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should repent, neither the son of man that he should... God is not a man who should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not make it good? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not do it? So it goes against God's nature to lie. It goes against God's nature for there to worship other idols. It goes against God's nature to steal. God's never going to compromise on these areas of the moral law. Now, there's some other kinds of law. One of them, and I'm going to call this ritualistic law. And in the Old Testament, that would be the sacrificial system. Now, why did God want the Jews to do sacrifices?
Well, I guess partly to teach them that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. That made the point very
okay.
Clearly.
Okay. Yeah, that there had to be the shedding of blood. Now think of the scenario here in the temple where there would be these sacrifices. They are bringing animals up, cutting their throats, pouring their blood out, and burning the blood, burning the carcass. What do you think that smelled like? Horrible. God is wanting them to see your sacrifices stink. Your sin stink. And for you all to be dealing with this, you know, I want you to come before me, realize it's wrong, see how much they stink, and I want you to be doing these sacrifices. Were sacrifices important to God during the Old Testament?
Sure.
Yeah. Whenever they would go, when they were moving the temple from place to place, boy, get that temple set up. Let's get it set up so that we can worship God, come in, do the sacrifice. Very important. However, there was a time, two verses down here, Isaiah and Psalm, Isaiah 1:11-13. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires you of this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. Whoa. And then Psalm 51, "For thou dost not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. Thou art not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Well, now what's the deal? These sacrifices... Now over here, we never see anywhere where God says, "Okay, you guys haven't figured it out yet, so it's okay, you can go ahead and lie because you haven't figured that one out." Or you guys just, I mean, they constantly were blowing the war effort on the idols, but God never said, "Well, you can't just figure this out, so just forget the idols." He never says that. But he does here with the sacrifices. Two different kinds of law. A moral law, we don't violate because it goes against the very nature of God. Ritualistic law, which is done for a purpose. God wants us to see how bad our sins are when we bring these sacrifices before Him. So there is a reason for these. I would say that in the New Testament, we can put a lot of things over here under this ritualistic law category. And I think we can put what we're talking about today, scripture memory, quiet time, and I'll say a few more about some of these saints. Prayer, checklist, could be evangelism. All kinds of things could be here because God wants us to do these things because of what they will produce. For example, what's the principle for scripture memory? What's God's goal for me for scripture memory?
Renewing my mind.
Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." The goal here is to get the word in my life. Same thing with quiet time. We were just in a session over here where he's talking about quiet time, and he said, "I tell the guys to have 5 quiet times a week. They don't have to have quiet time on weekends." And he said, "You know, people get real uptight about, I have to have one every day. If I don't, I'm living in sin." And he says, "You know, really, chill. You don't have to memorize on the weekends. In fact, there's no verses that say exactly how you're supposed to do that. You could use, Jesus rose a great while before dawn and would go out and have his time alone. Or Psalms talks about rising in the morning. In the morning, O Lord, thou wilt hear my voice. Now, is that a quiet time? Well, I don't know. Maybe it is. We like to use it for that. If I start putting requests on people, requirements that are not biblical, and saying, you have to do that or it's sin, then what does that become?
It
becomes law. Yes, this becomes legalism. When we take ritualistic law, should I memorize scripture? Sure I should, because of what it produces. Should I have a quiet time? You bet I should. And it should be a discipline that I'm working on. Should I pray? You bet. Are there times when God doesn't hear my prayer? Yeah. There's some things about this list of things. A checklist. Should I have a checklist to make sure I'm doing all these different disciplines? Sure. But if I start telling you that you have to use my checklist, or that for a quiet time we have to do 7 minutes with God, and if you use a devotional guide by somebody else, yeah, that's not really a quiet time, you know. It's really not. And so, if I start turning this into moral law, it's called legalism. By the way, if I take moral law and turn it into ritualistic law, what is that called? It's called license. That means I start playing and say, oh, you know, it's okay to lie. If the circumstances are right, it's okay. If I get these confused, they'll really mess me up. Now, the only reason I bring that up in this workshop on scripture memory is to make sure that we're not using scripture memory to beat people over the head with it. God never said, stop doing these things. But you know what? If I'm using scripture memory as a prideful thing, just soon you not do it. Just stop it, really. Does that make sense, what we're talking about here?
Like one guy said, we get this idea of legalism so easily. Do you think God's the Godfather? You have your quiet time, I give you protection.
Yeah.
Well, that's true tithing, too.
Oh, yeah, all kinds of things like that we use to beat people over the head with them. And God wants us to do them because of what they produce, not because we're doing the letter of the law or using it to make people feel inferior. You know, how many verses have you memorized? I've memorized a lot more than that, you know? Let's go to the next page there. Scripture memory testimonies. Let's just read through these real quick. So let's see. And what your name is?
Gordon.
Gordon. Okay. Gordon, why don't you read the one there on Swindoll?
He's one of my favorite. Chuck Swindoll. I know of no other single practice in the Christian life that's more rewarding, practically speaking, than memorizing Scripture. That's right. No other single discipline is more useful and rewarding than this. No other single exercise pays greater spiritual dividends. Your prayer life will be strengthened. Your witnessing will be sharper and much more effective. Your counseling will be in demand. Your attitudes and outlook will begin to change. Your mind will become alert and observant. Your confidence and assurance will be enhanced. Your faith will be solidified.
Okay. Jack, why don't you read Piper's there?
Piper, I wish I could persuade everyone to do this. In his preaching, he starts with quoting the passage.
I don't know if you all have noticed that, but quite often he'll stand, before he preaches, he will stand and quote the entire passage just looking out at the crowd. He's memorized it and does that all the time. Rich, do you know Larry Beard?
Yeah, I was his social worker when he was injured.
Is that right?
Okay.
Why don't you read his?
Without scripture memory, I would have lost my mind in the hospital, and the only thing I could do was my eyeballs. I would constantly review my verses not to dwell on the circumstances.
Wow. Yeah. Larry said that was... He said it kept him... He literally kept him from losing his mind.
Well, and he was a strong believer, too. Mm-hmm. You imagine that.
Yeah, he and John Craig were good buddies, and they'd all, you know, I mean, he was reviewing the TMS. That's what he was reviewing. Lauren Sani, past president of the Navigators. Scripture memory has paid greater dividends for the time spent than has any other form of scripture intake. You know, our supreme example is Jesus as he quotes scripture throughout the New Testament. We see that. And by the way, the devil also quotes scripture, but he also misquotes it. And, you know, my testimony is I'd have to say there is nothing that's impacted my heart and thinking more than scripture memory. It digs deep ruts in my mind. Good ruts. Just to mention the hand illustration, the scripture memory is one of the five ways that we get the scripture into our life. Through hearing, reading, study, memorize, and meditate. Those are the five ways that we get the scriptures in. And the thumb is always a meditation. It's the most important one. Without the thumb, you... Because that's where a lot of application comes. So the five are hear, such as on Sunday mornings we hear preached, or we listen to it in our cars. We read it, reading program, those kinds of things. We study it, so that's Bible study. The fourth one is we memorize it, which is what we're talking about today. And then the fifth one is we meditate on it. All right, why memorize? We're on page three now. All right, we're all going to have to look up some verses here, too. Let me hit the first two, and then we'll hit these verses. You know, it gets the word, you know, why memorize Scripture? It gets the word into our lives as no other method can. 100% of what we memorize, we retain. Hearing, these are the latest stats. I kind of looked up these stats poking around. It seems to be what they are. Hearing is 3%. Doesn't bode well for us for preaching on Sunday morning. People are going to get 3%. If they take notes, they'll get higher. That'd be writing it down. But reading, 5 to 10%. Study and writing, 75%. Only scripture memory can you get 100% of what you've of intake. And it also gives the Holy Spirit access to us 24 hours a day. Let's look up some verses here. And so, Gordon, if you'll take the first one there, Psalm 119, 9 and 11. Jack, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Rich, take Ephesians 5:26. Okay, and I'll do Ephesians 4:29, and then we'll just kind of keep going around on them. Okay, Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11.
How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. And then 11, I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you.
So what does scripture memory do for us, according to that verse?
Well, it helps keep our way pure.
Okay, keeps us from...
Well, when you read on the rest of the chapter, it helps you develop your character.
Right. And specifically in verse 11 there, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It keeps me from sin. Just pure and simple. Keeps me from sin. All right, Romans 12, 1 and 2.
I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service and worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. that you may prove what the will of God is, for that which is good, acceptable, and perfect.
Okay, so what does the Word do to our mind?
Transforms it.
It transforms it, renovates us. You know, I like to use also, this is where, rather than conforming it to the world, we're conforming it to the Word of God, and it digs ruts. I've heard it said that back, probably back in the 20s or 30s when it was all dirt roads up to Alaska, they said that when you left Washington State heading up into Alaska, that there was one road that went up there, and it was all dirt and mud most of the time. And people would say, choose your ruts well, you will be in them for the next 500 miles. The Scriptures digs ruts that it's hard to get out of. Those are good ruts. When it's scriptural thinking, those are good ruts. Okay? All right, Ephesians 5:26, there, Rich.
Excuse me. Ralph 25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. 26, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her, the church, by the washing of water with the word.
Okay, so
by washing the water with the word.
So what does the word do?
Well, it cleanses the church.
Yeah, so it cleanses us. So if we get the word in us, it cleanses us. Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Well, this one is kind of a little bit of a tangent. When we're, you know, the challenge here is making sure that we don't have any unwholesome word. And one of the ways we can do that is if we've memorized Scripture, then when things come up, our comments can be, we can, when we share that Scripture with someone, it will edify. So Scripture memory helps me to have a word of edification ready for someone at the appropriate time. It's interesting, John Piper, they were asking him how he retained his Scripture. And he talks about reviewing and all that. But he said he got his conviction for memorizing Scripture. First year he was in the pastorate, went to the hospital, and a lady was dying of heart disease. Family was all there. There's like 20 people there. He had forgotten his Bible, so he didn't have his Bible with him. He said he walked in, and he said the husband said, Pastor Piper, would you please bring a word from God for us here? And he said, my mind went blank. He said, I couldn't think of John 3:16. And so he said he prayed for him, and he said everyone was nice to him. And he said when he got home, he fell on his face before God and said, God, that will never happen again. And he began his regular Scripture memory of being able to quote. He said there are certain psalms that he wants to have ready to go. You know, the whole chapter of a psalm. He didn't have the right word at the time, and he went, I have got to memorize Scripture so this doesn't happen again. So it's kind of interesting.
Ephesians 5:15-16.
Yes.
Very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil.
All right, so what's that verse saying?
Trying to protect you.
Protect you? Make use of your time?
Well, and make good decisions.
Make good decisions.
Evil is out there. How do you counter that?
Yeah, using strategic use of your time, making strategic use of your time. And with Scripture memory is one of those things that you can, those odd moments, we'll talk about that later, those odd moments, you can use that to memorize your Scriptures if you carry your cards with you. Anyway, good use of time. Ephesians 6.
Okay, 17-18.
Yes.
The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times. Let this in view be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints.
Okay. So verse 17 really particular.
The helmet of salvation, the sword of Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Okay. So how does that relate to Scripture memory?
Well, if you have your sword's very useful if you've got Scripture memorized. It's a great offensive and defensive weapon, both.
Okay.
If you've got sharp.
Good. Have your weapon with you all the time. In fact, we'll hear Piper talk about that.
Satan's just to see we're tempted by sin. And we say, you know, it's so easy to say, you know, Satan, you don't want to check. I got this verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13 is going to blow you away. We play, but immediately you need to quote the verse out loud if you're riding in a car, out loud any manager sitting in an office or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and use the sword right away. Don't threaten it. Don't say, I've got a really great sword.
Yeah. For me to say, oh, I have a sword, isn't the same as using the sword.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Say that last part again, Jack. I couldn't hear all
of it. Go ahead and use the sword. Don't tell Satan you're being tempted to think the wrong thought and go somewhere or do something wrong. You say, hey, you better watch out. I'm going to pull the sword on you. I know it's going to get you. You go ahead and use the word right away. Quote the verse right away. Sword out and use it. Don't say Satan's got a shiny sword down here. Yeah.
Okay. Good. All right, Rich.
Isaiah 55:11. You quoted this before we went into jail, witness every week. So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I have sent it. Certainty of God accomplishing His will through His Scripture.
Okay. How much good do my words do?
They're pretty powerful.
Well,
in our circles, anyway.
It may be, but am I going to really make any supernatural change in someone's life with my own words? Yeah, they're not. It's the Word of God. And so I need to be ready to quote the Word of God if I want it to have supernatural results. Jeremiah 15:16 says, Thy words were found, and I ate them, and thy words became for me the joy and the delight of my heart, for I have been called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. It creates joy.
We had a build on that, Ron, I think. Well, I'm glad we did that every week in the jail, because in witnessing situations, the teachers start trying to argue people into the kingdom.
Yeah.
Or reason them into the kingdom. And Peterson, in his book, is all over the fact that it's the Scripture that does it. No, it's Scripture.
Yep.
It's so easy to get into discussion, even if it starts out with Scripture, and you end up trying to argue men.
Yep, arguing won't cut it. It's the Word that's going to change your heart. Yep. Okay, let's get through the next four here. Hebrews 4:12, Gordon, and then John 8:31, Jack. Joshua 1:8, Rich, and then I'll do John 6:63.
Okay, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges thoughts and attitudes of the heart.
So what does the word do?
Sharper than a two-edged sword.
Okay, yeah. So it pierces the heart, does surgery in our hearts. So if I have, again, kind of goes couples with Isaiah 55:11. If I'm sharing the word, it's the word that's going to be doing surgery in somebody's heart. It's powerful. John 8:31.
31, Jesus, therefore, was saying to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine. So, and having the Word of God in your heart is abiding in the Word of God. You really ought to have it very close in.
Yeah, it's one of the marks of a disciple. When you look at the definition of a disciple, you know, there's a lot of people that have definitions of them. I encourage you to look through John and Luke, through those two books. And everywhere Jesus says, this is what a disciple is, and there's four of them. And so I encourage you to look those up. This is one of them, John 8:31. That you abide in the Word and so prove to be my disciple. All right, Joshua 1:8.
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success.
Okay. How does Scripture memory help us with Joshua 1:8?
Meditate, which leads to obedience.
Okay. Yeah, more effective meditation.
Gothard says it's the meditation, but really if you read the verse, it's the obedience out of the meditation.
Mm-hmm. And to meditate on it day and night, how can I do that if I don't memorize it? And then John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Well, the word is spirit and life. That's what I'm bringing into my heart when I memorize. Another reason to memorize, it will change your life at one verse per week.
Go in John Crawford. You just do one a month. That's 10 a year. That's even if you take Thanksgiving and Christmas off.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's one of the funniest things you've ever heard.
Well, you know, and my observation is, let's say we memorize one verse a week. We don't have to do that, but let's just say that we do one a week. And, of course, we don't memorize on vacation. Can't do that. So that means 2 weeks you don't memorize. So that means you're memorizing 50 verses a week, which is, I'm sorry, 50 verses a year, which in 5 years is 250 verses. In 10 years is 500. Do you think having 500 verses sharp in your heart would change your life? I think it would. And that's just one verse a week.
And you can't take off on Thanksgiving. You've got to read Psalm 100.
All right. So that's why memorize. What verses should I memorize? Well, I'm going to hit hard the topical memory system. And I know that Rich and Jack, have you memorized the topical memory system?
No.
You haven't? I encourage you to, and I'll tell you, here's a couple of reasons why. One of them is there are no verses that I have memorized that I use more than the topical memory system. Jack, would you say that's true in your ministry?
Oh, yeah.
It's the verses you use all the time.
Yeah, it's very popular. It's a very brilliant academic.
Yep.
He's a reason I'm in for tremendous academic power, and so very humble guy. But
Jake,
he went through Dallas Seminary, and Carolyn said, "Man, that's hard." He said, "It's easy." He says, "I've got a real advantage." I said, "Well, you got the TMS memorized, and just about everything in the seminary you can hook on the TMS." That's what he told us. It's not hard.
Jack's just giving me the wrong books to read, I guess.
Is that one? I just took a biblical counseling classes at Southwestern Baptist Seminary. It was humorous to me that they covered almost every verse in the TMS, and that was pretty much the only verses they covered on how to do biblical counseling was these 60 verses in the topical memory system. And in fact, we were talking about it. One of the other guys, we were coming back to Tulsa, and we were talking about that, and he said, and I shared that, and I said, "Yeah, this verse, these," and we just went down listing all of them. And he goes, "Man," as Don Mann, and he said, "I got to start memorizing the TMS." He said, "That's what this is all about." And so he's working on that now. Yeah, these 60 verses, you know, they just really selected good verses out of this. The first 12 verses are "Live the New Life," which is the wheel illustration. And then the second 12 is "Proclaim Christ," which is the gospel illustration. Those are the easiest to memorize because there's illustrations with them and to retain. The other sections, "Rely on God's resources," "Be Christ's disciple," and "Grow in Christlikeness." Excellent verses. I use those all the time, but they're not as easy to retain and to be able to pull up just because there's not an illustration on them. So, but the first 24 are really easy. I highly encourage memorizing using, starting with the topical memory system, which also has the memory cards in it, and Gordon, also the course workbook here has more than what I've got in mind here on just practical stuff, best practices. All right, memorizing books of the Bible. I encourage you to, after memorizing the TMS, some of the verses that you want to select, you read books of the Bible. They're not that big. James is only 108 verses. Doesn't take that long. You can do it in a couple of years, easily, at one verse a week. You can memorize James in 2 years. Philippians 104, Colossians 95. I mean, we can knock some of those out. It's not that difficult.
Four guys in our city, they decided Philippians was 104 verses. They thought, man, two verses a week, we can get the whole thing done in a year. So they made a covenant.
I bet they did it, too.
They quoted their verses together.
Yeah.
God's got to use it.
Well, my daughter, in one of her, can't remember if this was in a Sunday school class or if it was in a cell group class. I can't remember what it was. But the guy that was leading it said, "I will give $100 to any one of you all that can memorize the Sermon on the Mount," which is about 110 verses. Emily memorized it in 1 week.
1 week.
She went back a week later and quoted it. And the guy said, he told me later, he said, I thought, oh no, I'm going to be out a couple of $1,000 here paying off all these kids. Well, there's only one other that wound up memorizing it. But she did it in 1 week. We can do this. It's not that hard to do. I've memorized the book of James. It's not that hard to do. Yeah, it's 100 and, yeah, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Yeah, it's 110 verses.
1 week.
1 week. Incredible. Of course, she was like a, in junior high, you know, where their brains are extremely sharp. Selecting verses or passages, and you guys can tell me what you all think. We get them from our quiet times, our Bible reading, our Bible study, messages. My verses are a combination of ministry verses, things that I've read and gone, I need that for ministry. Things that provoke my heart, remembering lessons learned when God whacks me in the face with a 2x4. I like to memorize a verse about it so I don't forget it and get whacked again. Or it's kind of a marker, a line in the sand. Psalm 34:3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." That's a verse I cannot ever forget. That's the verse that God gave both Sharon and I at the same time.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I've been going around OSU. Jeff Ricker told me the same thing. He said it's Mary's verse.
Yeah. You know, so I dare not forget that one. And then a verse that God laid on my heart, Isaiah 43:4, says, "Since you're precious in my sight, since you're honored and I love you, I would give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life." Yes, what I'm giving my life for is Isaiah 43:4. By the way, when you notice verses that you need to memorize, you know there's these blank pages in the back. In the back, that's what they're for.
No one knows what they're for.
Nobody knows. Here it is. That's what they're for, to write down verses that you want to memorize. All right, that's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but anyway. Okay, what translation? What translation you guys memorize in? What do you?
Nowadays, pretty much NIV now.
NIV? I can't go to NIV.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Me too. And, you know, in our church, it's our pastor used to, who was also Ron's, used to say that the NAS was the one that, you know, Jesus used and Paul wrote. And, it's just a little stilted in some cases. I grew up on it, but the NIV flows better.
One thing Crawford challenged me about is rememorizing. I thought I rememorized the whole top of my system. He said, he kept saying, "Why are you doing that? Don't do that."
He said to do it or not?
No.
He said not do it.
Re-memorize.
I know.
Yeah.
He told me that
unless
too.
Unless you found a real verse that really hits you. Maybe the letter or something. Like some verse really hits you. It's easy to do.
Well, remember in the 70s, Gene Warren, those guys were memorizing in different versions. I remember.
Yeah, the same verse in multiple versions. I can't do that.
Well, it makes sense in one way that you get a different perspective of comedy.
Yeah.
That can only be a mistake. I mean, do an American Standard or whatever, and then go to Scoville, and I'm just going, man, I messed up.
Yeah.
And I mean, you just derail right there.
You do. I agree with you. I agree. Well, don't be afraid to go grab other versions, though, including the Living. Now, some people may not like that, but I think there's some good reason to. One of them is my personal purpose statement is Colossians 1:28-29. And in the Living, now, he quoted it this morning down in the deal when he was giving his testimony. The gentleman there quoted it. And in Living, it says, "So everywhere we go, we talk about Christ with all who will listen, warning them and teaching them as well as we know how. We want to be able to present each one to God perfect because of what Christ has done for each of them. This is my work, and I can do it only because Christ's mighty energy is at work within me." That's the Living.
Okay.
I love it. I mean, it just really, it flows nicely and really communicates. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can get it. Then another one that I've used, which really is good for people who are suffering, is Habakkuk 2:3, which says, "These things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, just be patient. It will not be overdue by a single day." Great verse for people that are suffering, and it really communicates well. And then another one here, Proverbs 24:3-4 says, "Any enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts."
Yeah, that's cool. That's the old Living Bible.
Yes, it is the old Living. Yeah. So use whatever translations you want. Now, how do I maintain my verses? So Jack, you can give us your input on this too, man, of how to maintain them, because I tell you, that's a challenge. The older you get, the more difficult it is. Current review, as you guys know, you've got to review a verse every day for 8 weeks if you want to maintain it. If you want to have it there to where you can then just review it once a month. But it takes 8 weeks to get that rut for one verse. It takes 8 weeks to get the rut in your mind enough that you can say it's there. So review it, your current review. You memorize a verse this week. You're reviewing it every day. Next week you memorize another verse. Now you're reviewing both of those every day. So you keep that first one in your review for 8 weeks. Then review it once a month, and you'll be able to pull that verse up and use it. Back review, well, it's easy until you get more than 100 verses. Now what I do is I put mine in packets each day of the month, so 1 through 30. So this is Romans, which is, first half of Romans is the eighth day of the month is when I review that one. And so that way I go through all of them in 30 days. And scripture review is, I mean, you know, I review my verses rather than listening to an iPod or something like that and listening to music. It's a much better way to use your time. All right, keep them in a pack. Okay, so here's the deal. Here's what I do. Y'all can do what you want. Okay, this is not even ritualistic law. Okay, my back verses, I keep them in packets. And I also have them in a notebook printed out so that I have them. After I have my quiet time in the morning, I'll go through and review one page. So it's in 30 pages, so I do a page each day after my quiet time. Yeah, I do. Sometimes I have somebody help me. Once in a while I have you help me. But usually it's by myself. And these I can carry with me in my car or do different things, but also lose them. So that's why you want to have them like in a spreadsheet or something like that.
You leave in your pocket because of the washing machine, and if it really doesn't, you can still read them.
Yeah, they are. It'll mess them up. It will. Okay, trivia time. This is the official Navigator verse card size, which is like 1 1/4 by 2 3/4 or something like that. Does anybody know why they're this size? Do you know, Jack? With sailors?
Because they're all sailors, and they were told about us, and they just couldn't carry the Bible with them, so therefore they couldn't memorize Scripture. Lost the place.
Well,
it's got to be a trick. So they had this little decorative pocket here on the navy white, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he cut a little piece of cardboard, and wrote a verse on it, so now if this is in here, will the petty officer yell at you? And I'll make you, we probably won't be able to see it. So that's why.
I've heard there's one other story also, and that is they used to use cards something of this size, but they would be, when they would be swabbing the deck and all that, and they'd have their T-shirts on, they would take their verse cards and roll them up in their sleeve, and they said it was too close to the size of a pack of cigarettes, and they didn't want people to think they had cigarettes rolled up in their sleeves, so they did smaller verse cards so no people would know it. Old Navigator trivia. By the way, some people like to use apps. I have Verse Minder by NavPress. It's helpful for the TMS. I can't say that it's helpful for that much more.
What's that cost?
$5, something like that. Okay. Yeah, wasn't much. And this is on both Apple and Android. Okay. So maintaining verses. So, okay, how do I keep going for the long haul? Well, accountability, you got to have a buddy, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. That's where you've got to have two people together. The one picks up when the other one stumbles. Two cords, you are better than one. So you got to have a buddy. Always take your verses with you and use the odd moments. Get unsaved people to review you on your verses. And I don't know if you, Jack, if you've ever done that.
I came to Christ that way.
Okay.
Big old football player and guy that we discipled. He said, he was making A's. He said, at midnight, he said, well, I got to go study. And he'd take his books and go down and study. And he thought, what's he up to? He needed a tuna to football. He was a big old lineman. They call it tuna. Like, he told Greg Troy the tuna needs to help me. I want you to see if I know this. Reading Romans 3:23. And, yeah, that's right. Romans 5:8. Yeah, that's right.
1 John 1:12, 10, and say, you know, I don't think I want to do this anymore. You know, the conviction. A couple weeks later, he went to an athlete's meeting and so I led him to Christ.
Yeah.
You know, we know that you can use the TMS verses for evangelism. You know, I had guys at my former job review me. And there's also the trick of missing a word so that they can correct you to make sure you pay attention. But have you ever discipled? I'm curious. I've never really done this. Have you had any experience discipling someone primarily with the TMS, if not exclusively? I don't know why that couldn't be done. You know, it takes you, walks you through the levels of maturity.
That person guys in Chicago worked up a follow-up plan with each verse. The time you got the TMS, mm-hmm. covered quiet time. And
oh yeah, you can cover everything. Things, yeah.
Sure. The wheel is in A, and the bridge is in B. I'm not done. What do you guys think?
I think it would be an extremely possible thing you could do.
Yeah. Have a little booklet with mm-hmm. it.
Well, and that's if you go through the plan that they have in the course workbook, you basically do that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they have that put together for you.
Elementary for an adult. I guess depending on your spiritual background.
Yeah. So the long haul, how to stay motivated, you got to be around others to do it. And I would encourage you to have others join you in memorizing and use your verses in ministry. Ask God for opportunities. You have to use them. If you don't use them, you're not going to be able to recall them and feel comfortable with them. The more that you use them, the more they can become conversational. So, you guys have any other 2 cents worth on how to keep going for the long haul?
I know one thing, if you ever use a verse in evangelism, you'll never forget it. Usually a real powerful moment where somebody's really considering Christ. Sometimes you share a verse with somebody, it really hits them, you know, you see them visibly kind of moved mm-hmm. by it. My God's really communicating, you'll never forget that verse.
What is it, like Romans 6:23 or what?
Yeah, I think there was a verse in where a man should give account himself to God. In Romans, the last verse of Romans, you know, each one of you give account himself to God. I saw God totally change. When
wow. Shared
that verse to him, he just literally almost jumped off the ground.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. All right, how to memorize a verse. You know, I encourage you to make sure you've got a good time and place, maybe right after your quiet time or something like that in the mornings, to spend some time working on it. I mean, you can do it while you're driving, but you got to be careful that you don't crash and kill somebody. Write the verses on a card. Now, by the way, I mean, you can use the approved standard here, but you can also use 3x5 cards, which I think, Rich, is your favorite, is 3x5 cards. The other thing is business cards. Business cards are great. They're just slightly larger than these. And then you can buy all kinds of packets to put them in, as well as the cards. You can get them at office supply stores where you can print them out on them and pull them apart and all that, which you can't find for this regular size. So anyway, but write them on a card. That's what is really helpful. And the topic, so you want the topic and the reference, the text, and then the reference again. And the topic is a hook that can bring up the verse for you. Break out each phrase, memorize one, then add the next phrase. And then reference fore and aft so that you can remember the reference. Pray through the verse, meditate on it, turn it into your quiet time. Develop a visual picture. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. Use all of your senses. So you want to read it. You want to say it out loud. You have someone else say it to you. You draw a picture. You write it onto a card. Type it out. Typing doesn't work for me because I can type without thinking about it. So it doesn't do me much good. And then review. The key to being able to recall a verse is review. So you review them every day for 8 weeks and then monthly for the rest of your life. So Isaiah 55:2 says, "Wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." So what does that have to do with reviewing monthly. Well, I memorized that verse in December of 1970. The only reason I can quote that verse to you today is because I've probably reviewed it 1,000 times. You have to do the review. Okay, an example of memorizing a verse. Jeremiah 15:16. This is a great one for this. Gordon, why don't you read that out loud for us? Jeremiah 15:16.
Thy words were found and I ate them. And thy words became for me a joy and a delight in my heart.
Good. Okay. So we've read it, and you could write it out and do different things. One of the ways that we can memorize a verse, though, that helps us to retain it, is to draw a picture of it. Tell me what I'm going to draw in this verse. Jeremiah 15:16. Okay, so eating a Big Mac. So you want me to draw a picture of a Big Mac? Okay. All right, so here's sesame seeds. Now what? Okay, so there's my Big Mac. It's not a Big Mac, though. It's a Jeremiah 15:16. Because you got to think in your mind, you want something on it with a reference on it. So it's a Jeremiah 15:16. It's not a Big Mac. Okay, now what? Now what am I going to see?
You wrote that on the ketchup.
Yeah, so now what? How am I going to help my visual here?
You got to have a big jaw biting.
Okay, so here's this guy, here's his nose and his mouth with his teeth. Okay, he's happy too, isn't he? Thy words were found, and I ate them. So he's eating Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I ate them. And thy words became for me the joy, so he's happy, joy and the delight of my heart. For I've been called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So God is looking down at him, and he says, I've been called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So if you can draw it out. Now another one, which I think is a far better example, by the way. If I do a tree with big fruit hanging on it here that says Jeremiah 15:16. But it's the same thing, and we got a little guy here, and he's jumping up and down. He's all thrilled. Because he was looking for something to eat, but he couldn't find it. Now he found it. And so now he's going to eat it. Thy words were found, and I ate them. And thy words became for me, he's happy, a joy and the delight of my heart. For I've been called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. That will help you. And I've just got down here the steps you go through to write it out, listen to someone, pray about it. How can I apply it? And then going through the different phrases there. Okay, it's time for us to hear from... This is just 4.5 minutes. I encourage you to look this up on YouTube and watch it, because he's pretty animated when he does it. The Value of Memorizing Scripture by John Piper.
All I want to do in this simple message is to give my testimony and mingle it with Jesus' testimony of the value of memorizing Scripture. I'm pleading with you. So here's my testimony. I can give it to you in 8 sentences without exposition. Number one, memorizing Scripture makes meditation possible at times when you can't be reading the Bible, and meditation is the pathway to deeper understanding. So if you're going to meditate on the law of the Lord day and night, you need to have some of it in your head. Number two, memorizing Scripture strengthens my faith, because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that happens when I am hearing the Word in my head. Number three, memorizing Scripture shapes the way I view the world by conforming my mind to God's viewpoint on everything. Number four, memorizing Scripture makes God's Word more readily accessible in overcoming temptation to sin, because God's warnings and promises are the way we conquer the lies, the deceitful lies of the devil. Number five, memorizing Scripture guards my mind, making it easier for me to detect error And the world is filled with error because the God of this world is a liar. Number six, memorizing scripture enables me to hit the devil in the face with a force he cannot resist to protect myself and my family from his assaults. What are you hitting him with? He is millions of times stronger than you. And he hates you and your family and your marriage and this church and God. How anybody walks through this devil-ruled world without a sword in their hand is beyond me. Memorizing scripture provides the strongest and sweetest words for ministering to others in need. Ever been caught off guard with somebody in need? You don't need to be caught off guard. And finally, number eight, memorizing scripture provides the matrix for fellowship with Jesus because he talks to me here and nowhere else. But oh, sweetly, powerfully, authentically, really speaks to me here. And then I speak back to him in prayer. And if this is here, we can talk anywhere. And it's sweet. It is very sweet.
So, powerful stuff from him.
Number six was resist.
Yeah, he cannot resist. Yeah, the devil cannot. It's a force the devil cannot resist. Did I leave things out here, guys? Did I cover it pretty good?
Tell you a story real quick.
Let's hear it.
Gordon's son came to Shepherd Air Force Base to do pilot training. He got together with me, and I told Gordon this. And he's raised a fine Bible church up here in Edmond, and he had all kind of Christian background. And he said he had spent this, two months traveling with a guy that was an agnostic. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant guy. Brad's real brilliant himself.
Let me preface that. Mm-hmm. If it's the right guy, I think if Brad was number two in physics at the academy, this guy was number one.
Wow.
And this guy was using arguments, Carl Sagan stuff. And Brad had good stuff. I said, we get Josh McDowell and names of different people. And he said, I got all that. And I said, well, faith comes by hearing and hearing about the Word of God, Brad. I said, how's your time in the Word? But well, not really good. So you need to start really reading the Bible. So he told me a few weeks later he got all through John, through Acts pretty quickly, just reading the Word. And we started memorizing the topical memory system together. And Brad is, you know, just very secure, very sharp guy. But he really appreciated that so much. And the more he read the Word memorized, the more faith he got. And pretty soon he was just on top of his game. He was doing really well. And so when he left the base, you know, he's only there for a year and a half maybe. He said, Jack, I want you to meet somebody at Starbucks like you did with me and do that scripture memory with him. He gave me a Starbucks card. I went and found how much it was. I was like, wow, that's a big amount of money. He says, that's what you're supposed to use it for. I said, I will, yes, sir. So I've been doing it, you know, for a year or two. He came back about a year later and gave me a card with 2.5 times what was on the first card.
Really?
And I finally used it up, but just strictly, you know, Brad asked me, and I saw him not long ago, are you still meeting guys that do scripture? Yes, I am, absolutely.
That's great.
Some of the guys are here that meet the scripture everywhere.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me pray for us so we can wrap this up. It's time to go. Father, we just thank you for this time. Just thank you for your word, and I pray, Father, that we would be able to hide your word in our hearts, and, Father, we'd do it in a way that would be glorifying to you, that would be edifying, encouraging to others, and not be used in a negative way. And Father, I pray that you would use your word in a great and mighty way. So we just commit it to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Copyright by the Navigators, 2013, all rights reserved.